You've been putting in work consistently throughout the year. But now it's crunch time. Semester tests are on. You sit down, open your management accounting file, flip to your notes, and oh my gudo, you think to yourself, these are the most useless notes I have ever seen in my life. It's a dog show. You don't have any notes to summarize the key points of any other topics. What now? Today's guest might be able to help you with your little note problem. We have Dylan Breitenbach, UNISA's top student in CTA in 2023, audit senior at Moore Joburg, and founder of Accounting Warriors, a platform dedicated to providing top quality accounting study materials and notes to enhance your learning experience. Share with us his journey creating the notes that are saving the semester. We also chat about the versatility of the CA designation, the continuous process of personal branding through giving value, whether accountants are AI proof, more networking tips, and even more. I hope that you enjoy. My travelers on the road, another quick ting. If you've put in that work throughout the year, but haven't made the time to create notes, Accounting Warriors has you covered. They have some of the best, most attention-grabbing notes I've seen that will help increase retention and recall of that content when you need it most, man, in the year test, in that year-end exam. Plus, only for my travelers, you guys get 15% off all Accounting Warriors products when you use the link in the show notes. Again, some of the best notes in the game, linked in the show notes. With that, on to the episode. Welcome back, my people. This is the Road to CA podcast, the show for aspiring chartered accountants to inspire, empower, and inform the difference makers of tomorrow. Today, we're joined by a stark traveler on the road. His journey is quite the unconventional one. In every sense of the word, by the way, in his trajectory, but also in his velocity. On his way to qualifying as a CASA in less than record time. Yes, you heard me. Less than record time, and we'll definitely be chatting about that. He was the top student in the UNISA CTA class of 2023, having passed his undergrad with distinction and also having passed his ITC in Jan, en route to becoming one of the youngest, if not the youngest, CASA ever. Now, he's an audit senior at Moore Joburg and the founder of Accounting Warriors, a bustling and emerging community of aspiring accountants, chartered accountants, currently holding the sole mission of bringing affordable teaching aids to the aspiring CAs of today and tomorrow. Most importantly, he loves to travel. He loves to treat himself with traveling to new destinations in his spare time. He's ambitious. He's driven. We're joined by Dylan Breitenbach. Dylan, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm very good. I'm very happy to be on the podcast. Quite excited. Yeah, very, very happy to be here.
I'd argue more excited. I'd argue. I've been seeing your Accounting Warriors notes for months now. Those notes, like, they went viral. Like, people are like, dude, these notes. They've been reposting the notes. And it's just interesting to meet the person behind the notes. You condense the topics and summarize them in a really accessible way.
Yeah, and I think for me, the biggest thing was just making it more fun. Like, the general CTA notes or textbooks are so boring. I remember that being my biggest pet peeve. And then I remember in CTA, I was always like, I am not paying for notes that I don't find interesting. And I didn't have time to make my own notes during CTA. So afterwards, I was like, okay, let's try some cool things. And that's essentially what I'm trying to do, is just make it as cool and Gen Z as possible, you know. Mm. So that you actually want to see the notes and you're like, ooh, what's that? You know, what's going on there?
Well, how did you? So now your thinking is already, I think it's ahead of what we learn. We don't learn that. Like thinking about what's the psychographic of the people I want to serve. Like when, how do you get the inspiration to think, okay, how do I make the notes Gen Z applicable?
So it's an interesting story, right? Because I never thought of starting something like Accounting Warriors up until the day it actually started. Crazy enough, a lot of people, they chat to me, they literally think I've been sitting in my room planning this thing like from back to center, and that's not the case. Mm. I started at my firm in February as an audit senior, and the growth opportunities at the firm and the entrepreneurial spirit that I saw kind of gave me an inspiration to do something, but I didn't know what.
Interesting.
And at the end of February, I only realized, what am I actually missing? You know, what am I missing from CTA? Because I felt like there's something that's not here. And then I remember the joy I got from helping people through the UNISA group, chatting to them about their journeys. And, you know, if they ask you something about IFRS 16 or IFRS 9, and you're able to give them that advice directly, and they don't have to wait 2 or 3 weeks to get an answer or figure it out themselves. And I wanted to give people access to this community. So in March, I made a post with ugly notes. I will never post notes like that again. It was a word with like, I think there was like maroon font, orange font, green font, and black. The idea was giving each subject the color. And it was just exam tips. It was a few exam tips for the, I think it was for people doing their Molpark March subs or whatever.
Okay.
Posted that. Then I posted the links to the groups. And at that time, I mean, my LinkedIn page was, there was 500 people, and I was like, okay, if it helps one person, I'm cool. Mm. And that was kind of the idea. Posted that, and that post went absolutely viral. It went, I think the reactions was between 600 to 900 reactions.
Goodness gracious.
The reposts were upwards to 200 or whatever. Sure. And in that post, I called the people Accounting Warriors. And then when I thought about it, I'm like, but this is actually such a cool name because it like empowers you to take charge, to be like, I'm the warrior in this journey. Mm. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, there's going to be frustrations. But if I take back the power and I warrior on, I'm going to make it. And that's basically it. So I was like, okay, if just WhatsApp communities is making this big of an impact, what if I actually share notes? And I shared, I think the first post was gross income and the second post was deferred tax.
Mm.
And that went so big that it eventually landed on my director's table. Mm. And he was like, it's so cool. Like, what are you doing? What is this? And I'm like, well, I'm not really sure. It kind of just started. So we're going to see what's going on. And he's like, okay, well, it looks super cool.
Mm.
And then it just started taking off. More people found it. More people found it useful. And yeah, here we are today.
Sure. That is interesting. No planning whatsoever.
No planning whatsoever. Till this day. It's a Sunday afternoon making my post for the week thing. Sometimes even some of my most viral posts, I've actually made 30 minutes before posting it. Ironically enough. And I'm like, this looks so cool. But I literally did it like 5 minutes back. So yeah.
Wow. Okay. So for me, the immediate click in my brain was around luck. So you were lucky for sure. But I want to draw, because I realized success is where opportunity and preparation meet. Not just, I won the lottery. Yeah. Most people who win the lottery go broke, bankrupt. So success is that opportunity plus the preparation. Let's go back. Where did this whole CA idea begin for you? Because obviously it took a lot of preparation. It took a lot of building to get to the point where you could make a post that is valuable to other people. So where did it start for you?
Well, interestingly enough, it actually started in around about grade 8.
Oh.
I showed very good skill in accounting in that stage. But at that point, I had no idea what a CA is, what a CA does. And I remember when my mom brought it up initially, my reaction towards it was, I don't want to be a boring person. I don't want to be a boring auditor. Like, that's not me. Like, I don't want to be a CA. And I was very much against it. And then my mom was like, okay, let's try send you to a firm. And let's just see. If you go to this firm, how does it feel? Maybe you like it. Maybe you find out stuff that you want to do. And I went to the firm. I did some job shadowing. And I remember the day I got home, I thought, this is something that I never, ever, ever want to do. I was like, I never want to. I had such a headache. I walked in. I was like, I do not want to do this career. I do not want to do this. At the time as well, I mean, my school marks, yes, my accounting was great, but my math was not mathing. So I was like, okay, well, clearly it's not the route. Like, yeah, I'm halfway there. I can't go. But then around grade 10, 11, reality started striking me because I realized there isn't really anything else that I can see myself doing. Like, yes, okay, I feel like I don't want to do this journey, but what else? What am I going to do? Am I going to be a doctor? Am I going to be an actuary? Like, I didn't have the marks for those things either. So I was very confused. And so we did one of those tests that tells you where to go. And I was like, okay, this is going to be the answer. This is going to give me my direction that I need. And it literally told me that I can be anything that I wanted to. And I was like, wow.
Oh, thank you. Anticlimactic. Oh my goodness.
So yeah, that's why I then chose all the subjects that I can to give me the best variety. And around about grade 11, actually, I realized that, okay, the CA thing, maybe I was too harsh on it the first time. Maybe I should give it a shot. And at that time, I then also realized, okay, but what is the like financial resources that I have to go study? Is there even any financial resources to go study? And that's kind of when I realized, well, it's very limited. And one of my best options would probably be to go to a firm, get a scholarship, work while I study, because that might be the only way that I actually am able to get a degree. And I went back to the same firm, job shadowed, and I actually understood a bit more of what they do. And I was like, okay, well, this isn't too bad. You know, it's not as bad as it was in grade 9. Fairness, I think a 14-year-old will be bored in any corporate office. So I wouldn't send a 14-year-old to make a decision like that. But yeah, I went to that firm, enjoyed it quite a bit. In my first quarter of matric, ended up scoring 101 for my accounting exam. And then I was like, okay, maybe the universe is nudging me into a direction. Went to my firm, small firm in Randburg at the time. Offered me a full scholarship to study at UNISA. Worked part-time, started studying 4 years later. Here we are.
Shucks, man. That is, because now we're going to have to get into the meat, but that is just, it's just crazy how it's important not to judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
It's super important. Like, because also another thing about the course that even I experienced is the opportunities outside of even these technical topics is vast.
Yeah.
Like if, let's say you wanted to be a doctor, right? And maybe you didn't have the marks or maybe you didn't like the sight of blood. Like you went to the vacation work and it was like, oh yeah, no blood for me. But you know you want to make a difference in that space. You want to go into healthcare. Why don't you just become the CFO? Aspen Pharmacare Limited, one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in Africa. CAs at the helm. CAs. CEO, I think a founder as well. CAs. So it's such a versatile space. Yeah. Like if you can put your head down and just run through the 7 years... Although it's, I don't believe in the idea of not maximizing your time, but if you can do that, really, you can always come around and do anything you're passionate about. anything.
Exactly. Anything you put your mind to, it's just about linking it to your values, linking it to what you find purpose in, and knowing that if you can see how this journey takes you to where you're supposed to be, it will be much easier for you to actually do it. And I mean, I think the biggest thing is to realize nothing is in the way, but everything's on the way. That's a key thing. And if you realize that, it just becomes, the journey becomes so much easier because you understand where you're going and why you're going there.
Nothing that's in the way.
Nothing is in nothing the way. Nothing
is in the way.
It's everything's on the way.
Dude, are you interested in poetry?
Actually, interesting that you bring it up. I used to write poems in high school, but they were never really any good. but in terms of like just reading poetry, not necessarily. But I did like the topics in school. But I wouldn't go out and buy a poetry book, if that's what you're asking.
I hear you. But that's interesting because like what I've realized about language is, or even just English, I guess, is words, the words in and of themselves are useless.
Yeah.
And I'm going to contextualize that a little bit more. You've heard the phrase like empty words. Those are empty words. The thing that makes words powerful, you know, words are powerful, is the message behind the words. It's the intention behind the words. Words in and of themselves are just a vehicle for a message. And what I felt when you mentioned that, when you said that little phrase, which rolls off the tongue nicely, it sounds right. but for me, the pictures in my mind, you know, they were so vivid and so valuable because of the experiences I'd had.
Yeah.
So because of the message behind the words, so it's message from your side, but it's also perception on mine. Because of what we've been through and the experiences we've had, the communication, the stronger your communication, the stronger the way you can say your words, the more dense the words become. So when you hear investment advice from Warren Buffett, it could be the same exact advice from me.
Yeah.
But you won't take it.
Exactly.
It'll be 100 times more value, 100,000 times more valuable from him as opposed to me, because of this idea that it's the experiences behind the words. You know?
And that's why your personal branding is so important.
Personal branding.
That is why it's neat, especially in a professional career. That is, your name is what carries you. If you don't have that name, you're not going anywhere.
Did you think about your personal brand when you started Accounting Warriors?
Not specifically. Mm-hmm. I was always aware of who I connect with, who I network with, and making sure that whoever I align myself with is a ethical, responsible person, because we're going into an ethical career.
Yeah.
But I never focused a lot of energy towards, I need to have this picture, I need to have this bio, I need to have this. When I started at my company, I actually found LinkedIn semi for the first time, the power behind LinkedIn. And I kind of upgraded my profile, and as Accounting Warriors has progressed, I re-upgraded. And I think it's a continuous process, because at each level, there's going to be different needs. Like the bigger you grow, the more impact you're going to have. So now you've got space for different things in your personal brand. But once you're starting off, it needs to be a certain way. So I don't think it's not a thing that you do once and it's done. It needs to evolve with you as a professional, especially.
And a huge thing, like a huge idea that I've realized through the podcast is, you know how they say networking is about not what you know, but who you know, and
exactly,
you know, all of that. I feel like there's a whole side to the coin that's missing. It's true. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know, but also it's about who knows you. And that's what I believe the personal brand is so powerful in creating. Because
yeah.
the value of who you know, it's multiplied by the value of who knows you. When lots of people know you, that's called social proof. What does social proof do? It improves your persuasive power.
This is true.
And so building your brand is about building your leverage in every single interaction you have in life. You know?
Yes. But.
But.
Building your personal brand is more about the value you offer than the value you can get from other people. Because if you add value, people will inherently respect you, want to know you, know about you. Because if you don't add specific value, what are they going to mention you for? What are they going to recommend you for? They just know about you. Okay, cool. That's great and well. I mean, the CEO of Goldman Sachs can know you. That doesn't mean much. If he knows you and he knows you are a star player in the CA ranks, you know investments at the tip of your tongue, you designed a whole new algorithm to decide on investments, that's going to be a different person that he's going to recommend.
Yeah.
Because when he's got those problems, he's going to be like, oh, but I know about this guy. I've networked with this guy. I like his soft skills. I like his vibe. And he adds value. So I think that's the core thing. Because once you add value, people also inherently remember you. Because that's what they remember you by. It's the value you brought to the table.
Yo. Me and my brother chatted about this. So we say networking is... It really is just connecting with people.
Yeah.
With the underlying condition that you have something of value to offer.
Exactly.
That's the thing about it. So I think that that's also a huge idea that's missing from most people. Most people think, oh, I'm going to network. I'm going to go to the networking event. Like, dude, if you don't have anything of value to give, networking is a futile effort.
Well, for me, the thing is, I think everybody has value to add, but true. It's up to you to unlock that value, and it's up to you to understand what value you add. Like, no one's going to come and tell you that. You need to think, okay, even as a CA, you know, I think a lot of people think once I reach that CA goal, once yeah. I get those four letters behind my name, all of a sudden I'm on all the recommendation lists, all the networking lists, you know, I'm getting invited to go skiing in the Alps or Austria, you know, I'm driving the Benz and whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, for some people it is. Some people are lucky enough to have started their journey in key positions and at key firms and in key sectors. But that doesn't mean it's going to take you all the way. It gets you into the door. But you still need to go through the door. It's open now. Your CASA key card worked.
Yeah.
But now you need to walk in and now you need to add value. And that brings us back to APC because that's what APC is testing. Yes, you've got the technical knowledge. But if we give you this license, will you be able to add value? Or do you just have those four letters behind your name? Just because. That's the test. That's what they're trying to see.
So yeah. Have you seen that that value creation or like that diagram, like where you have like the inputs and the outputs? In my mind, that isn't only a business thing. I think it's also a very personal thing.
Yeah.
And I'll explain why. Because if you can take in knowledge, like let's take the course, it's a great example. You can take in all this knowledge, right? And even you can be able to apply it in a written test. You've taken in all this knowledge. You maybe have great marks. The value creation process is taking that which you've got and also outputting it.
Yeah.
You also need to be able to communicate your value. You can't just take in all this knowledge, get good marks, and not be able to sell yourself, not be able to deal with people, work with people. If you can't connect, you are significantly less valuable.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, yes, AI is going to take over, but we're not there yet. And even so, I mean, we always say that, yes, AI, obviously accountants are scared because a lot of our tasks are mundane, like putting in a TV or putting, like a lot of it a robot can do it. But the shift is just going to change. CAs are still going to add value. It might just not be what we're doing currently, but somebody needs to audit the AI. Someone needs to build the AI. Someone needs to teach the, someone needs to verify the AI.
Yeah.
So there's still space for that, but that's, and that's why communication skills becomes more important, because for now, technical is important, but at one point you'll have an AI that you can ask your IFRS 16 question to, and they'll probably give you a response 16 times more effectively, better understandable, you know, more accurate. But our profession, and we call it professional judgment, it's a soft skill. You can't train a robot on that. That's something you need to assess.
Yeah,
that's where the focus is going to be.
Sure. We're going to have to double down even more. AI is showing us, AI is showing us more than ever, we have to double down on what makes us human.
Exactly.
Like, if you don't double down on your ability to inspire, AI is going to replace you busy flipping your burger.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, your journey. It's a very interesting one.
Okay.
The short route. Can you explain what, how you, so Dylan is literally my age, but he's about to qualify as a CASA, or he's a year older. Can you explain us that route, how you found out about the short route and the circumstance that obviously prompted you to follow it?
Okay. So,
to be continued in part two. See you next week.